Imagine what it would be like to be running around New York City. The busy streets, the noise, a bit of chaos. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you're going for your run, you're coming around the corner, a little bit of construction going on, and out of nowhere, a car slams into you. Then you instantly and literally see your life flash before your eyes. The only thing really holding yourself together is strangers that ran over and held your hand while the uncertainty ran through your mind. This is an incredible story. Coach Denise, the Marathon Whisperer, talks about. She's exciting, she's vibrant, she is passionate, and I'm so excited to share this show with you. This is Drew, and you're listening to Transformations Through Running. All right, welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. Welcome to the show, Denise. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. And I'm a huge believer in the transformation running gives to everyone, for sure.
Fantastic. Well, we got lots to talk about today. Let's take a moment to give you a chance to talk to our listeners here. Let them know who you are, what you do, maybe how you got into it.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, this is Coach Denise. I'm here in Chicago, and I have been running since the fourth grade. It was the only sport I didn't have to try out for. I was on it, and I'm still on it. And I was never a very quick runner. And then my late 20s, my older sister did a marathon, and I thought only fast people did a marathon. And so she inspired me to do a marathon. And so I ran my first marathon in 1994 at Chicago. And that day, that finish line, it turned the I can't into what else can I do. It was like the first dose of confidence that I had been searching for. And fast forward, well, during that marathon, I said, never again, this hurts so bad, uppercase bold font, like 90% of us say. But then the pain goes away and that sense of self-accomplishment. And also I call it self-awe because there was so much doubt. It just, it empowered me to try other things that I didn't think I could do. And then, of course, I wanted to get faster. So I found a coach in a running group. I got really fast. And it kind of became my X. Like, I never felt X enough. But I got real, like I said, I got really fast with running. And my coach got me really fast. And I lost sight of, like, what the fourth grade girl found in running. Like, how it made me feel, the people it brought into my life, the places I could see. And gratefully, on August 16, 2009, I was running to Central Park to do the New York City half. At that time, I was running 60 to 70 miles a week. I was chasing a PR, a personal record, and I got hit by a car.
Oh my gosh.
I was on the hood and shattered the windshield with my body, bounced off the hood and landed in front of the street. And that day became like Denise 2.0. It was my rebirth day for sure. My friends and family, they're like, aren't you going crazy, not running? And I was just grateful I could walk, talk, and breathe. And I didn't need surgery. I had to wear a back brace for a couple months. And it really, after, I can't remember how much longer from the accident to when I had this, this like tug and enlightenment from the inside. I don't know how to explain it, but I just felt like surviving that accident, because my life could have gone a different route, but surviving in the state that I survived, that there was a reason. And that's when I decided I want to give back to running for what it had given to me and continues to give to me. So then I started coaching, and I work with people that, you know, haven't run since high school. So I'll help them do their first 5K. I'll help people. I've even helped a couple clients do their first 100 miles. And so I just want to truly, you know, finding that coach after I did my first marathon, I kind of mentor him or emulate him in that he believed in us until we believed it, right? So surviving that accident, I wanted to pass on what running gives to me. I wanted to believe in, you know, sometimes we need someone else to believe in us until we believe it. So I wanted, I live by that with my runners and future runners. And then kind of like I said, what that accident did is it brought me back to like the real gifts of running, not the statistic driven gifts of run. Well, gifts, it's hard because in the endurance world, we're all kind of focused on statistics, right? And the good thing about that is we find out what else we had in us, but it's not the only thing about running. So with my runners, I feel like I've really succeeded, of course, when they hit their goal, but just as much when they don't hit their goal and they tell me, thank you for helping me find the joy in running again. Or I didn't hit my goal. In so many words, they'd say, I didn't hit my goal, but I had a great time. And I didn't hit my goal and it's okay, because I was that way that if I didn't, like when I was running 60 to 70 miles a week, if I didn't get a PR, I would beat myself up. If I did get a PR, I would be proud, but poof, it would fleet. And then I would focus on the next. And when I didn't get that PR, I'd be so hard on myself. And so I just want people to, you know, do things they don't think they can do, whether it's their first 5K or, you know, asking someone out, whether it's in or out of running. But be kinder to yourself, you know, if you don't get the outcome you want, because I just feel like when we do things we don't think we can do, it's when we're showing up in our life, and it's part of the human experience. And I'll just add real quick, I forgot to mention that, you know, I started coaching in about 2010, and just that first finish line I crossed, it gave me confidence, and it gave me courage to do other things I didn't think I could do. Like, I've done an Ironman, a couple of them, and I'm deathly afraid of water. I've jumped out of a plane. I'm afraid of heights. I've taken improv classes because I used to be afraid of public speaking. But the biggest thing it's helped me do is back in June of 2016, I left my career in accounting to be a full-time coach / marathon whisperer, because that is where my heart is. And again, it's all those things I didn't do before gave me the courage, I have chills, to do the thing that lights my heart up, like helping somebody do something they didn't think they can do. It just sticks to my soul. I don't know if you ever saw the movie E.T., but you know how his heart lights up? So whenever I hear from my runners, and even my readers, I can tell you about that later. I wrote a book to help people do their first marathon. They're ET moments. And it's almost like I found a new definition of success with this career that I love, in that getting unsolicited feedback from people that were strangers, that is my currency. Yeah, so sorry, that was a long intro.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions now. We'll get into some conversation here. Tell me where you initially came from. Were you born and raised in Chicago?
Yeah, so I've been in Chicago all my life, but I have run on all seven continents. I've run all over the world. So even though my home base is Chicago, I have an addiction to racecations.
Very interesting. Okay, so for you, actually, I'm really interested in the injury part. What happened? You were running through New York City and a car just came up and hit you?
Yeah, so I was running to Central Park, and the girl that I was staying with, she actually asked me that morning, like, do you want to take a taxi? I'm like, no, I need the warm-up miles. So I was running to Central Park and came upon this intersection. And you know, when you're on an intersection, on a corner, you could see the other three corners. Well, the intersection I was coming up to, there was construction going on at like 5-6 in the morning. So I could only see the corner I was crossing to. And what happened is, as I approached that intersection, there was a hose like perpendicular to the crosswalk. And I told myself internally, like, oh, that's all I need to do is trip before the race. And so I stopped running, stepped over the hose, and then took my first step to run, and then boom, a car came out of nowhere. And that's when I flew on the hood. And that's where, you know, people always say when you're like, if you have a near death experience, your life flashes before your eyes. And that didn't happen for me. It was more on impact. I felt like I'm going to die, get run over, or be paralyzed. So I'm just,
That's what you thought as soon as the car hit you?
Yeah. And to this day and every day, like, that's all I think about. And that's why I feel like I really was blessed to survive the accident. And when I think about all, I get getting emotional when I think about all the gifts I've had since that day that I would have missed out on. I'm a very lucky girl. And then I found it helped me find my purpose.
And how long ago was that?
That was a little over 10 years ago, August 16, 2009, my rebirth day.
Okay. So at that moment, what was that like? Were you conscious the whole time? Did you know that they were taking you to an ambulance and everything was happening like that?
Yeah. So I stayed conscious. I was just laying on the ground and all I kept thinking is I can't move. I don't know if I've broken my back or broken my neck. And I was never so anxious for an ambulance to get to me, but I was also so scared because I didn't know what I had done to my body. And the emergency room, well, gratefully, there were two gentlemen that were walking on the sidewalk when it happened. And when I just remember laying on the ground and they came to me and held my hand until the ambulance got there. And they rushed me to New York Presbyterian. And that day, again, I just was waiting for the results of what happened, and they did x-rays and MRI. And I ended up breaking my L1 through L5, where the muscles attach, the transverse processes, and not near the spinal column. And that's where I think about how like an eighth of a centimeter, whatever, my life could have changed so much drastically in a different direction. And so the doctors actually released me that day because they sent me home and they said, see your primary care. So it wasn't until I got back to Chicago, I flew home with a broken back.
That was odd. It just went blank.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
So you were saying that you flew home with a broken back.
Yeah, so I ended up, we didn't know until the next day that, 2 days later, the next day, when the doctors from Cornell released me, they said, see your primary care physician when you get back. And I saw him the next day. And then the following day, I actually had a MRI of my back. And that's when we found out I had broken 5 vertebrae. But before I left the hospital, the emergency room doctor told me that I should buy a lottery ticket, how fortunate I was. And so when my mom had picked me up from the airport on the way home, we stopped at a convenience store. And I bought a lottery ticket and I have it framed.
Did you win anything?
And when I got it framed, the woman at the framing store, she said, did you win? I said, I did. I won my life. Yeah. So I see it. Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
So it's a very special day.
That's a great story. Okay. So from there, how long did you take some time off before you started running again?
So the accident happened in August 2009. And I got clearance to start running in February of 2010.
Okay.
And again, that accident brought me back to like what I first loved about running, because even now I still don't care about the clock. Like I'll set goals and if I don't hit them, I'm okay with it, because I know since I started coaching, I should say 25% of my runs and races are for me and the rest are helping my runners. I literally run with some of my clients in their training and in their races. So I felt like at a certain point, I felt like I was a hypocrite because I wouldn't like train for a race and shoot for a goal. But yet I would see my clients, you know, pushing through workouts and pushing through races when they wanted to quit. So now I do, every now and then I do put goals on me, but the difference is I know that if I put in the work and I push past wanting to quit and I don't get the time goal, I know I did enough. And that's what I try and that's what I try and get my clients to see too, that when you are giving your best and there's nowhere else you can dig, like that's enough, regardless of what a second crossing a chip mat says. Yeah.
So what for you, where did the inspiration come from to run on all seven continents?
I just, I think it may have been when I did Antarctica, I met a bunch of people that have run on all seven continents before. I can't remember because it was so long ago, but there's also a thing called the Grand Slam, and that's where you run all seven continents and you run at the North Pole. So that is on my bucket list.
Do you have to do it in a certain amount of time, or does it matter?
Yes, I think there's like a 4.5 or 5 hour limit because you're literally doing certain loops on this sheet of ice and you helicopter in. And the only thing is it's crazy expensive. So there's a lot of other countries I can visit for one race. So it's on the bucket list. I won't never say never.
So how?
But yeah, for a lot of... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I lost it now. Excuse me. How often do you run, or how often do you train yourself for your own runs?
So I probably run like 4 or 5 days a week. And now that we're kind of in a standby with races happening, I don't have any clients that I'm obviously running with because we're all doing social distancing. But even like before the accident, I would run hard 7 days a week. I didn't pay attention to recovery days and resting and easy days. So I run for fun, and every now and then I run hard. I have more balance. I didn't have balance before.
What does your recovery days look like now?
If I had just done a race, my recovery days are standing in Lake Michigan for 15 minutes with the freezing water up to the middle of my legs, my thighs. Rewarding myself with pizza and donuts. Remember I said I was about balance.
That's always interesting to me how runners put their body through so much pain for that amount of time and then they go eat a donut.
Right? Well, actually, so with my training groups, the marathon season, you know, is 20 weeks and you build up the mileage 3 weeks and then you have a cutback and then build up. So on those cutback weeks, our Saturday long run, they're called donut crawls, and we run the last 2.62 miles to the donut station or to the donut shop. And same with, I started this trend because, you know, this should be about, it's about seeing what is possible within yourself and then also having fun. And so marathon weekend for Chicago, for New York, and then some of my friends are doing it in their local cities. The day before the race, we do a 2.62 mile shakeout run. And same thing, you run for 2.62 miles or 4.2K, and then you finish at a donut shop. Yeah, so sacrifice reward.
I love your enthusiasm. Okay, so can you tell us one of your most challenging runs? I like to ask my guests on this show, one of your most challenging runs that maybe you thought mentally, physically, you weren't going to be able to finish, but you found a way to push through?
Yeah, it goes back to October 30th, 1994, that first marathon, because again, I never thought I could do it. And I didn't know there was a science behind training. I had never done anything before I didn't know if I could accomplish it. And I honestly don't know at what point in the race outside of the finish line that I knew I could do it because it was so long ago. But I know that ignited something within me to do other things that were going to require that fight, the fight that I had never touched on before. So I don't know if you've seen Lord of the Rings, but that day it was just like precious.
You like movies, or is it the goblins in the movies like E.T., the little precious guy?
I just like, I don't know, certain movies just I can relate to parts of my life. My dog is named Farley, if you ever saw Tommy Boy, because I loved Chris Farley and Tommy Boy. So yeah, I guess there's a theme I never thought about.
You find all kinds of things about yourself with these when we put these interviews together.
Right.
Okay, so for you, I just want to ask you real quickly, do you do anything rolling, stretching, anything like that after your runs, before or after the donut shop? No judgment here.
Yeah, so honestly, before, you know, I knock on wood, I've marathoned for 25 years, and I've been injured 5 times, knock on wood. One was an accident, and so I do a little dynamic stretch before, but what I really do is I go super slow until I'm warmed up. So I'm probably going like a minute and a half slower a mile for the first 4 miles or so. And even before I do a race, like if the shorter the distance of the race, the longer my slow warm up is. So that's what I do beforehand. And after, it's more like at the end of a run, I'm going slower if it's a long run. And then after a race, I do cool down miles super slow. And I used to make fun of the people that would run before a race and run after. I'm like, are you doing extra credit? But then I realized we need to do that so we're not, you know, our muscles are cold and you don't want to go fast out of the gate. And then after you race all out, it's like you need the blood to flow back to the heart from the legs and also get your heart rate down. And yeah, so I'm still learning.
It's life. It's always learning in life.
Yeah, I would say one thing that's helped me, you know, in December, I ran my 117th marathon. And what has helped me, you know, be injured gratefully only 5 times is that I listen to my body. So if my body throws a yellow flag and I've taken like 10 days or so where I've laid off on the running, it hasn't gone away, I'll go see a specialist. And then the second thing that helps me is that I get deep tissue massages. They hurt, but they help. It goes back to sacrifice with the deep tissue massage and the pain and reward with springy legs.
And how often would you do that?
I do it about every 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because I'm always doing marathons or ultras for me and with my clients.
And what are your, do you have any short-term goals coming up here in the near future? Of course, when things get back to some type of normalcy.
Yeah, so I'm actually, it starts tonight at midnight. There's this race called, that Laz has put on from the Barclays Marathon and Steve Durbin. And it's a virtual race where you run across the state of Tennessee. So the virtual race across Tennessee, it's 1,000 kilometers from, it starts May 1st and goes through August 31st. That's so I'm doing that. Yeah, I just have been starting to do virtual races because it's giving me a goal. And then I'm connecting with other people that are doing it. And then it's keeping these races and race directors around. So that way, after we get through this pandemic, they're all still there. And
okay, so what can you, we don't have too much time, but can you tell me what that looks like? What's a virtual race? Are you running on, looking at a screen, or how does that work?
So you register for the race, and then some races send you a bib and a shirt, a medal, and then you just commit. So you're just basically committing by registering and spending your own money. And then you start the race when they say it. So to get to the 1,000K in 3 months, it's averaging 5 miles a day.
Okay.
So it's more, I'm making myself more accountable, which is was hard to find when this first started happening in the shelter in place.
Mm-hmm. So that's what your goal is here, to run 5 miles a day for this.
For 3 months.
Yeah. Awesome.
Minimum five miles a day, 1,000. So it translates to 1,000 kilometers.
Very cool. And then, okay, my last question here before we wrap things up. Tell me about your coaching philosophy briefly. What does that look like when you start to work with a client?
Yeah. So my first goal is to help them with their goal. And then my second goal is to incorporate fun. So it's not so militant only. And then my third goal is again, going back to, you know, if they don't hit their goal time, to be kinder to themselves, because I think we as endurance athletes, we have a skewed view, because especially in the marathon, 1% of the population does this. So you're comparing yourself to 1% of the population, not your like 10-year-old self that never imagined you can do a marathon. So I just want to help with people being my clients and even people I haven't met yet to, you know, not to put so much weight on a second crossing a chip mat. And also because that 1 second doesn't define all the self-drive and discipline it took and courage to even sign up and self-discipline and drive to even get out the door every day and put in the training. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. Is there anything that we missed, Denise, before we wrap things up?
The only thing I wanted to mention is that I actually wrote a book to help people do their first or funnest marathon. And it's called Me, You, and 26.2. And it's really different. This is what it looks like, Drew. It's really different in that there's enough marathon training books out there that talk about how many carbs you need to eat, how many miles you need to run in this heart rate zone. There's enough of those. And my book is more about, it's 26 miles worth of chapters. Get it? 26 miles. And the cover is a collage of 26 first timers that I've coached. So each of those miles starts with one of their stories. And then I'll kick off each mile with their story and then a spectator sign that ties to whatever the chapter's about. And then it's intertwined is my story, of course, and then 100 marathons worth of experience. So lots of my tips and tricks and Deniseism. So it's really, and of course, there's a training plan, but it's really different. And you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and even my website, which is run-4-change.com.
Where did you come up with that URL?
Yeah, so the hyphens I had to include because the Run for Change was already taken, and it came back to that accident when I realized, when I had that awakening that I wanted to be a coach, and I just felt like the name Run for Change is change within and change for others, because my initial target audience was charity runners, because I know how much running changes us. And they were running to change other people. So it's a really long elevator speech for when I run into Richard Branson. So I'm working on my branding, but it really came from my heart, because I just felt like, you know, running is going to change them and they're changing other people.
Very cool. All right, Denise, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today on Transformations Through Running. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. I wish we had more time to talk. No, I wish I had more time to listen, because I want to hear about you more.
Well, maybe we'll save that for another one, another time.
Okay. Take care.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our True Form Life community. I love these interviews. I love to meet people and hear their stories. They are so interesting. They're inspiring to me. I feel like every single one of us has an extraordinary situation or story that maybe we don't even know about until you get someone to sit there and ask questions. If you know anyone interested in joining us, send us a message. We'd love to sit down and have an interview with them. All past shows are going up on trueformlife.com. This is where you can find all past shows as well as new ones as well. We're also on other podcasting platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. So wherever, if you're not listening on one of those, you're welcome to follow us along or subscribe there so you're notified when we release a brand new show. You can also follow us on Instagram.com/DrewTadia. Sometimes we have contests. We're talking about nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, all kinds of different ways to keep you active and motivated to keep reaching your goals. And also on Facebook.com/TrueFormLife. We're posting there a couple times a day. We're always trying to bring more value to your lives and find different ways to help improve whatever it is, the direction you want to go regarding health. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and I hope to catch you on the next show.